But what we usually do is we wait for that time of giving and piety, and so that we can feel good about ourselves. And God is saying that all that money that you're spending on Disneyland, all that money that you're spending on a new carpet that you don't need, all, listen to this, Will, all that money that you're spending for that new computer program that you already have enough of, all that money that you're spending on those books, Pastor John, and you already got 15 books on the issue, why don't you give it an alms? Thank you, Lord. Preach to me. I need this. Friends, I need this. This is about me. I'm talking about all that stuff that we get for ourselves, and we don't look at the needs of others. God is speaking to us today. Oh, that I would receive the very gift of God's grace as my reward for being the right kind of alms giver. You see, we're the wrong kind of alms giver. See how much I gain? See how much I give? See how much I do? God is saying, I don't need you to do that. I need you to sacrifice something for somebody that will never have anything. And friends, you don't have to go far to find people in our community that has a need of something. I'm not saying that the church is to be a social system to a needy world that needs to get up off of its lazy duck and do something. I'm not implying that. If you see a man or a woman that will not work, that will not provide for their family, they need to go without. Get up and get a job and get a life. But I'm saying that when you're trying to get up and get a job and get a life, and life is getting you down, when you have the extra, you fill up their cupboard 1 week instead of going home saying, where are we going for dinner tonight? What you need to do is ask them what they had for dinner last night. And then when they tell you something, then you go to Acts chapter 10, verse 2c, and see what you are going to be. Ah, my friend, the issue that faced us is this term, alms. Yes, a wonderful word in the Greek. It merely means gifts of charity. Gifts of charity. This term is found in the New Testament, and it has a sense of benevolent activity. Benevolent activity. In other words, the activity that goes along with you constantly giving. I won't mention the family, but there's a family in this church. Ever since I've known this group, they don't even have a problem with this. Because they've been doing this all their lives, ever since I've known them. When I didn't have, they helped me. Never asked for anything back. There are certain Christians that are like this all of their lives. They don't have a problem with it. And God is going to tremendously bless that particular family because that's the way they are. There are certain other families in this church trying to get out of being like this. Trying to stack their own coffers, trying to make as much as they can make and hold on to it and won't open up their hand to help anybody do anything. I want you to pay attention to me this morning. Look at Matthew chapter 6, if you will. Let's go there. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about this kind of activity here. Always is to the poor, and it was very common in Judaism. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to go, and we want to look at verses 1 through 4. And I believe that our Lord really speaks about this kind of activity within the culture. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Those of you that give, if you give in so folk can see you, shut up. And then he goes on and says, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. The implication is that Jesus is saying, when you want to give something, don't do it so folk can. Have you seen people in church when it comes time to give money in the offering plate? They get up and they have the biggest feather in their hat. Biggest mean coat. And then they start strutting when it's come time to give them money. Boom, boom. Watch what. And holding that $100 bill very high. On everybody. Hey, Jesus said, don't you do that. He said, don't you do that. No, no, no. He said, y'all need to cut that out. That's why we pass the basket. Nobody knows who's giving what. I mean, if all you got is a dollar and God's blessed you with a dollar, praise God. Put it in there. We're not going to say, can I get a 10 over here? Can I get a 20? Do I hear 30? Do I hear 40? If you're in the pastor's corner, you give him 50. Amen. You give me a 50. Do I see a 60 over here? Do I see a 70 over here? Hey, man, you ain't almsgiving. Hypocrite. Jesus goes on in verse 2 and he says, when therefore you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward in full. In other words, he says, don't do it so men can see you. If someone in the church has a need for something and you want to help them, do it. If you know that they need some money, put the $20 bill in your hand, go up to them Sunday morning and shake their hand and say, God bless your sister or brother. And then when the person feels the green, they're not going to pick it up and open it and embarrass you. Tears will come in their eyes. They say, oh, how did you know? That's all right. The Holy Spirit just told me to come to you. You don't do that, and then you don't come back and say, I helped you last week. Now you need to affirm me. What I do, I work 24 hours to get that $20 bill, and I give it back to you in an envelope and say, don't you ever come to me when I have a need. That is not almsgiving, my friend, when you give for something in return. I got taught that lesson years ago. My wife and I was both working, and when we first came to this church, and the Lord gave us some money, and there was a particular family that had a lot of kids. We knew it. What we did is we set aside money every week. And when we came and we met them, we shake their hand and left that $20 and $30 there. And it fed that family that Sunday. You know what we do here? We go around here asking, well, who needs? Why don't you open up your eyes? If you see somebody that got a bunch of, what do you mean? If they're on assistance, you know who needs. All these children, all these mouths to feed. What do you mean, who needs? What you need to do is open up your mind. Jesus goes on and he says in verse 3, but when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. I think Jesus gives us a wonderful, wonderful lesson here. He says, now it doesn't mean that you're foolish, that you just take your wallet out and start throwing money around. Oh, praise God! I'm giving up. No, you're a fool. I'm going to try to catch a 20 and say thank you. You know, just come every week and throw it up. I'm going to be right under you trying to catch the money before everybody else. And then I say, wait, let's see if he's sane now. Because if he's insane, we can keep it. But if he's sane, we got to figure out what he's doing. Doesn't mean to do it like that. What that means is when you do it, it's so, and we'll get into the simplicity a little bit later, it's done so naturally that it blesses the other person. And then when the other person sees you doing it, they're going to go home and they're going to get convicted and they're going to look at their check account and they're going to say, hey, man, teach me how to do it that way. That's what the Lord is implying in this text. Go to Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Acts chapter 9, verse 36. We're going to look at something else and look at true scriptural almsgiving. It's very important here. Oh, now, listen, those of you sisters that can do a lot of things with your hands, it says, now in Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which we know as Dorcas in the King James. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continuously did. Look at the character of this Christian woman. She continuously gave, and she was ministering to folk in the church. She didn't do it just on Thanksgiving and Christmas. She continuously did. You know what she did? She looked around and said, listen, how many teenagers do we have in this group that's going to school? Okay, now they need some shoes. How many children does her sister have? Six? She's on assistance. Her husband ran off and left her. I've already raised my children, and I know how quick they go through shoes. So I'm going to have a tennis shoe ministry. What you mean? I'm going to buy them six kids some tennis shoes on a regular basis. That's my ministry. That's almsgiving. And so what you do is you go up to that sister and say, what's your kid's shoe size? Oh, a 4 and 7 and 10 and 14. Oh, Lord, 14? Okay. I'll give that too. That becomes your ministry. That's what it's all about. It's not about what can I do. You just look around. And when you see some of these kids running around here with holes in their shoes, that may be your ministry. Almsgiving, my friend, that's what it's about. This kind of almsgiving was particularly an exercise of piety amongst the Jews, along with fasting and prayer. Now look at Luke chapter 12, verse 33. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. The Jews constantly got into this. This is nothing new. It happens all the time. Luke 12 and 33. Jesus puts it this way. He says, sell your possessions and give to charity. See, this was a Jewish thing. He says, sell what you have. And I'm so blessed that my brother read that about Barnabas, the son of consolation, doing our devotional scripture. Barnabas owned some stuff and he sold it. He said, sell it and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. In other words, Jesus says, you want to secure your bank account? Go into it and give to the folk that need it. You want to secure that you're going to always have some money in the teller window? Start looking at all that money that you got stacked up in there and try to figure out how you're going to give it away to somebody that has a need. And then he says, I will keep money in there, not until you can have more, and so that you can do what with more? Give more. See, he wants to bless you so that you can become a blessing to others. That's what almsgiving is all about. In the 20th century church, we see almsgiving, if I give, then they're going to give me a day to say, this is his gift day. You ain't getting no gift day here. As a matter of fact, we're not even keeping a tally of how much you give. And if you ever try to share with anybody here how much you're giving, we're going to ask you to leave. Because it's not my business or anybody's business. The Lord doesn't want that. So let us get on down into the points of our outline. That was just the introduction. Let's look at the scriptural. That was just the introduction. All right. Okay. Let's get into the, introduction. Let's get into the scriptural admonition concerning the caring of others.
The scriptural admonition to the caring of others. In other words, what this next section is going to bring us into is, what does the scripture say? What does the Bible say? What does God's word say about us caring for the needs of other people? Do we just listen to what the preacher says behind the pulpit? He says, I need $50,000, and everybody start digging deep. Is that the way it's done? Do we try to make sure that the pastor's wife has a new outfit, that her Benz is full of petrol, that their children go to Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, and yours are barely making it through grade school? Is that the admonition? We need to look at the scriptures and see what the scriptures say about that. This is Pastor John Coleman, and you're listening to one of these identifiable sermons, one of the sermons that kind of like brings you into the spirit of, let's see what John is talking about. You understand yet? Because if you don't, you can call me right here at the Lucy Coleman Studios. You have the number? Give me a call. Go to the website, johnnycoleman.org, and listen to more sound clips than this. I'm going to put them up all for your spiritual edification. Well, I'm excited about the message. How about you? Let's get right back to it. Section 3 on giving. How are we supposed to give? I'm sucking it!